Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The fifth hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
It is a Sunday fun day. The dogs are barking. The dogs are barking. We are back at it again. Another edition of the fifth hour with Ben Maller, and joined again this week by Ryan McBain, who is in the number two chair. What do we call it? The shotgun. You're writing shotgun.
Yes,
that's what
shotgun.
We said on the Saturday podcast. Exactly there. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the mailbag, as you know. It's my favorite podcast of the week, answering the questions. It's a spinoff of Ask Ben, and a great way to pass time on a Sunday, a wonderful way to pass time on a Sunday. And we thank you for feeding the mailbag, and without you feeding the mailbag, there is no Ask Ben. And some weeks are better than others. This week, better than last week, so that's good. Crunching the numbers on how many questions we get in. So we need a certain amount of questions, Ryan, because there's a lot of dumb questions that we don't use. So we need a volume of questions so we can trim the fat. Right? Trim the fat is what we want to do. So we can get to the better questions. And that sounds odd because people say, well, that was a dumb question. Why'd you ask that one? I said, well, you should hear some of the ones that didn't make it on the podcast. But people bitch about everything, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, let's get to it. Here we go. These are actual questions sent by actual listeners. If you would like to contribute to the mailbag, you don't have to wait until I put a post up on Facebook. I normally post this stuff on Facebook on Wednesday, and that's where most of the questions come, the Facebook page, which is Ben Maller Show. Ben Maller Show on Facebook. You should like our page there. You can also email your question. Get a lot of emails. We've had more and more people sending questions via email. realfifthhour@gmail.com. Just please put your name and city first. Give you a little love. If not, we'll just say parts unknown. We don't know who this is. And we might not even use your question, but you can submit a question anytime. Right now, while you're listening to the Sunday mailbag, you could send a question in for next week's mailbag. And then we can obviously answer it next week. You don't have to wait. So with that as the backdrop, let's get right to it. Pierre in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Jesus, why?
He writes in. He says, can Gagon's recent absence from the podcast be attributed to extreme pressure that he is under on a weekly basis to dish out high-quality podcast? And number two, have you nominated him for a Profile Encourage Award yet? Yeah. No, it does seem like he's pulled a Simone Biles here and just walked off, and that's it. I'm not doing it anymore, so I don't know. But McBain's done a great job. You've done a fine job here stepping in, and we thank you for your service. And yeah, I think Gascon should win some kind of courage award, and he should be on CNN, and they should give him magazine covers. What's the Naomi Osaka package? Magazine, two magazine covers, Netflix documentary, and a Barbie doll. I think that's what she got. I think that's correct.
Yeah, he probably would enjoy the Barbie doll. I think so.
It would be a new spin on the Ken doll. It would be a little different, a little bit different there, for sure. So, all right. Thank you for that, Pierre. Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia says, Ben, what were you guys doing when 9/11 happened? He says, well, what were you doing in this? The same for whoever is in with you this week. All right, whoever. That's the great Ryan McBain. Come on. He's a Twitch star.
Yes.
So I'll go first, Jason. I, on September 11th, was working at Fox Sports Radio. At that time, I was the weekend overnight guy, and I was an update anchor. I was in the newsroom, and I was filling in on September 11th doing updates. I was living at my shit apartment in Hollywood, and I was doing updates that were supposed to start at, I think my shift started like 8 in the morning, 8 or 9 in the morning, and went to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was like an all-day shift, West Coast time. So I woke up thinking I was in a dream on September 11th. I woke up, and being on the West Coast, it had already happened while I was sleeping, and I woke up, and the emergency broadcast system had been activated. This is not a test. This emergency broadcast, and I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought I was like well, what happened to the radio station and my alarm clock? I was like, this, they must be malfunctioning. This is not real. And then I was like half awake. I was in a daze. So I turned on the TV and I saw what had happened. And I was like, oh my God. And it was still playing out. The towers hadn't collapsed by that point, by the time I'd woken up. And anyway, I made the drive. I had to work, so I made the drive over to the Fox lot. We had studios in West Los Angeles at the Fox movie studio lot there. And so that's where I did the updates from. And I went over there, and I went in, and it was just like this weird vibe. I remember that. And every game got canceled. Everything was being postponed because of what had happened. And we were a sports network. We shifted to do news. And being at the Fox lot, we had access to the back feed that wasn't being broadcast. And so we saw stuff that we probably should not have seen, and stuff we wish we hadn't seen, that were just being put on the satellite and you know, reused for B-roll or whatever down the line. So I have very distinct memories of that. But the things I remember most about September 11th were the guy I filled in for. I was not my shift. Was very upset that he took that day off because it was a big news story and he wanted to be there. That seemed bizarre to me. I also remember they made us all evacuate our cars from the underground parking lot below the Fox Network Center there in West LA because they were concerned there were going to be more planes that were, you know, and the movie studio was a target. So they made us all move our cars out from underneath the parking garage because they were worried that the plane was going to hit the studio. I recall that. It also changed everything about that. I used to go to the Fox lot, and I had free rein. I had a pass to do dumb radio, and I would spend hours walking around the New York skyline sets and the different sets that they had in the back, and no one gave a fuck. And I would take friends from out of town, and I had a pass so I could get by the security gate on the Fox lot, and I would take them. My buddy from Dallas, we spent hours walking around the New York City, Brooklyn Street on the Fox lot. It was the greatest time in the world. And then after 9/11, that all ended. And then I also remember driving down when my shift ended at like 4 o'clock. I remember my mom was freaking out because my brother lives in Manhattan, and we couldn't get a hold of my brother, and my sister-in-law was pregnant at the time with their first kid, and my mom was losing her mind, as you might imagine, because the phones were down. We finally got a hold of them. They were okay, which was great. And then I went down to see my parents after living in Orange County, and driving by LAX on the 405 freeway, which is one of the busiest airports, if not the busiest airport. It has been at certain points in the entire history of airports. And I remember driving by and seeing no planes in the sky. And all the planes had been grounded. There were no planes taking off. There were no planes landing. It was completely silent. And it was just weird. It was just weird. And everything that happened after that. Well, that's a long-winded answer I just gave to Jason in Rocky Mountain, Virginia. What was Ryan McBain doing on September 11th?
I was a few months out of college. I was trying to get into radio. So to make ends meet, I was working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which is a shit place. Don't work there. And
why is it a shit place?
Because it paid shit. Yeah. You're putting in 60 hours a week. Angry customers. It's just the rudest of people. It was just a shit job. You have to wear a suit and tie in that hot ass sun. The place that I worked at was in Reseda, so you know it was really hot. Oh God, it was so freaking hot. So I'm driving to work and I hear about the news on the radio. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm freaking out because my aunt worked in that building. So, and we can't get a hold of her because just the phone lines weren't working.
Yeah.
So throughout the day, I'm trying to like work and also make sure my mom's calmed down because my mom's freaking out because that's her sister. It was just really bizarre. We hardly had any like business. It just seemed like everything shut down all over the world. It was crazy.
Yeah. The other thing I remember, and my mom like started crying because 2 weeks before September 11th, the fateful day, I was in New York visiting my brother. with my younger brother. So all three of my mom's kids were in New York, and we went to the World Trade Center. And this is a life lesson that I learned that, you know, this was 2 weeks before 9/11, but I learned it after 9/11. So we are at the base of the World Trade Center. We're in the lobby of the Trade Center, right? They had this windows to the world thing that you could go to at the top. They had a, and there was like a restaurant, and there was also an observation deck. And so we had been walking around. It was a hot day. It was the, you know, summertime in, you know, it's late August in Manhattan. It gets very humid and nasty there. And so I was tired. I was very fat. I was covered in sweat. We got to the Trade Center. We get in the lobby. I remember looking up at the, I stood on the side of the World Trade Center, looked up, and I said, holy crap, this thing goes to heaven. This thing, I mean, this goes to the heavens. And so we went into the lobby, and, you know, it's just like typical office building lobby, whatever. There's a security desk. You got to check in, and then you want to go to the observation tower or observation deck. You had to pay money. And you, they're the restaurant. So we go in there, and the guy's like, okay, well, we got there at like 3:30, almost 4, and the thing closed at like 5, if I remember correctly. And they were going to charge us full price. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, this, we're only going to be there for an hour. And they said, well, no, that's just, I mean, it's, you can go up if you want. And so I remember turning to my older brother. I said, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. Why don't we? We'll just do it next time. I was like, these buildings aren't going to go anywhere. I mean, next time I'm in New York. I swear to God, that's exactly what I said, something along those. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But I said, yeah, well, just next time I'll come back and this will be here. It's not going anywhere. And so I learned the lesson. When you have an opportunity to do something, don't push it back because it's not guaranteed to be there. I still can't. I can't wrap my head around having been there and in you know, just outside it for a little bit, walking around that little area between the towers, and then it's just amazing to me that that all just vanished in one day. It was all
so many things changed because of that day, and a lot of kids today don't get it. Like, this is how it's always been. No, man, it used to be pretty laid back. It's so many things changed.
Yeah, the world changed that day for sure. That was nuts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, changing gears. A Vols fan, Jimmy from Fayetteville, Tennessee, says, guys, when you were a kid riding carnival rides, did you ever get sick and throw up or shit your pants? That's for both of you. Okay. Do you ever have a reversal of fortune?
Well, I have shat my pants or shit my pants.
Yeah.
But not because of a carnival. No. Just
because you thought it would be fun and you know.
I just couldn't make it to the bathroom in time. You know, or you think you have a safety and you don't have a safety and like, oops, SpaghettiOs. Got to change my britches.
Yeah, that's the worst. We've all been there where you let one rip and then you realize, wait a minute, that's not gas. That's something else.
I got a story of a friend who did that. Yeah. It was during the summertime. He was in the kitchen and he was, I don't know why, but he was naked and he thought like, oh yeah, I got a fart, so I'm just going to do it. And like, oh no. He's like, I thought I had a safety. Oh man, Jesus.
There's that. The moment where you have the light bulb go off saying, oh man, this happened. That's horrible, right? That's like, oh crap. And then you got to figure out a solution to the problem. And the worst is when you're out, like a social event. Like, I've had it happen before where, you know, you let one rip and it comes out, the wrong stuff comes out there. And so I'm walking, and then you go somewhere where you're expected the social etiquette is to sit down. But you don't want to sit down because you got to go to the, you know, because then it's going to get really locked in and everything. And so you want to go to the bathroom, and so it's a big pain in the ass.
Where's the worst place you've had to go to the bathroom? Like, you're like, oh man, I can't hold it on any longer. I can't hold it any longer. I got to go.
Well, the worst, I've told the story in the podcast, I was walking back when I was out, before I got my treadmill, and I was out walking around, and I thought I could make it home. I couldn't make it home. And then I was like, it was early on in COVID, so I didn't want to touch anything, but they had a public bathroom that was open. So I went in there, and I tried to straddle the toilet so I wouldn't touch the toilet and aim for the bowl.
Yeah, okay.
And no. So I thought I had perfect aim as I was doing this. And then to my horror, when I stepped away from the toilet, I had only gotten about 20% of my intended target, and about 80%, it looked like a crime scene. It was all over the, oh my God, it was so bad.
So you're trying to aim with your butthole.
Yeah, yeah. But I was straddling the toilet. No, but I was straddling the toilet. So I thought, as long as I stay with my back straight up and my tuck is down and I'm straddling the toilet, I think that's perfect. And it was so bad.
One of my first jobs in radio, I was on the board. By the way, this did not happen here. It was many years ago. Okay, so I'm not going to say where, but I couldn't leave the board because I'm playing sound, running stuff. I couldn't go anywhere, but I'm by myself. I'm like, Oh my God, I got to go. Well, you know, in the corner, there was a trash can. So I dropped trowel and I took a dump in the trash can. I couldn't go anywhere else. I'm not going to shit my pants. What else? There was only one solution.
And so did you just leave it there in the trash can or did you?
No, I actually, no, okay. I took it in like a, and I took the bag out and I put it in the trash can in the bathroom or something like that. Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. You took it out. Yeah. That's polite of you.
Yes.
You didn't just leave it there. And then people, well, it smells a little funky in here. What happened? I wonder what happened here.
Yeah. Apparently you shouldn't, eat scrambled eggs and drink coffee.
Yeah. Well, anything with scrambled eggs, there's only a few things you can't eat with scrambled eggs that will not cause you to have, at least for me. I don't eat a lot of eggs, but when I used to, I loved a good omelet, like a cheese omelet. I love that. But it was
scrambled eggs and bacon and coffee. That's, man, let me tell you, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah. I like, is it pastrami hash? Ooh. Or, yeah, I like that. That's pretty good.
That's
like
good too.
A lot of crap mixed together there. Let's see. Page down here on the questions. Murray in Saskatoon. That's a fun city, isn't it? Saskatoon. It's a fun city to say. Saskatoon. Fun place to say. For both of you, what's your best, favorite, funniest Petros story? The P! Well, that would be more about you, Ryan. I didn't really work with Petros. I knew Petros. I've known him for a long time. My favorite Petros story is when he was a running back on a crappy USC team, and they finally beat UCLA after losing like 8 games in a row to the Bruins. And I think it was at the Coliseum, if I remember correctly. And I was on the field after the game, and the student section for USC carried Petros off the field like that movie. They picked him up, and they were carrying him around the field like the guy from Notre Dame. What's it? Remember that movie?
Rudy, yeah.
Rudy. They gave Petros the Rudy treatment. So I remember that. You worked with Petros, though, didn't you?
He's a funny guy. He does a very, very good Scarface impersonation. And one time, many years ago, he prank called Fred Rogen as Scarface. And Fred Rogen had no idea who the hell it was. I'm like, dude, that's Petros. It was so good. I laughed my ass off. Dude, I love that guy.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy at Petros. He's been very, very nice to me. And big fan of Petros. And he's like the number one guy in Afternoon Drive. Been number one guy, him and Money, for many, many years on AM 570 in La La Land. Kevin in Kansas writes and says, Dear Ben, I know you're not a licensed sleep disorder doctor, and your sleep habits aren't typical, but do you have any suggestions for helping a person fall asleep at night? Counting sheep doesn't seem to work. Thanks. Well, I can't help you fall asleep at night because I don't sleep at night. I sleep during the day. But I can tell you what you should do. Now, this is not what I necessarily do, and you should never take advice from an overnight talk show host or a podcast guy. You should never take advice from those people. They're bad people. But here's what I would suggest. No technology. The number one mistake people make, and I do it, I'm guilty of it, take your phone with you to bed. Play on your phone before you go to bed. Don't do it. Do not do it. You can watch television. Some people fall asleep when the TV's on. That's why they have the sleep timer on the TV. You can try that, but you don't want to watch anything too interesting because then you'll want to stay awake. And normally, you should not eat anything 3 hours before you go to bed. Nothing you should eat. you got to like wind down is the way to describe it. You got to wind down. That's the first thing you got to do. And have nothing to distract you when you get into bed. The bed's got to be the right temperature. You got to have the room. For me, I like it very cold when I sleep. I like to have it like a morgue when I sleep in there. That's what I like.
A morgue.
That's the temperature on my air conditioner. It says morgue.
Okay.
And I like the, yeah, that's the same temperature they keep the bodies. And so I, that's what I prefer. And then if that doesn't work, I just use my Kirkland brand sleep aid. So that's the other option. Any tips, Ryan McVane, to fall asleep?
I do one of four things. I work out, so that's I get tired. Yeah. I play video games.
Okay.
Drink whiskey. Or if that doesn't work, I just masturbate. That always works. Puts me right to sleep. I'm like, oh, man, that's done. I'm tired now. That's a full day's work, baby. I'm well, just fast asleep.
That's from the old country right there.
Yeah.
A little self-gratification, and then that's how they did it back in the early days, the Bronze Age. That's how mankind did it. Absolutely correct on that. All right, look at you. Al writes in and says, have you or any of your staff ever won any journalism awards?
Well, I haven't. That's for damn sure.
Now, a couple of ways I can ask. A, we're not journalists. We're radio people. And I always have to explain this to people because they seem to say, well, you're in media. You're a journalist. No. Sports radio and talk show hosts are opinion providers, right? We are like the old newspaper. You had the writer, the reporter, that gave you the news, supposedly unbiased. That's not true. But that was the theory. That reporter would just give you the facts. Just give me the facts. The columnist would give you the opinions. And so a good talk show host has strong opinions as a columnist, giving you their opinion on the news of the day or what they think is going to happen next. So they don't give awards. The other thing that I'll let you in on, a dirty secret, is these awards in radio. Somebody has to nominate you for those awards, or you have to submit your own material to win an award. I have friends of mine, I will not name them, who suck at radio that have won Golden Mike Awards. The reason they won Golden Mike Awards is because they submitted material, and not very many people actually do that, believe it or not, and they won Golden Mike Award. They're Golden Mike winners. I've never won a Golden Mike Award. I've never won any award, but I do have food items named after me, which for my money, having chicken fingers in Kansas City at the Landing, having the Mallor Fowler at the Bird in Lawrence, Kansas, having that, having the Ben Mallor chicken fingers at the Sportsbook Bar and Grill, or the Ben Mallor chicken sandwich, rather, at the Sportsbook Bar and Grill, that to me is better than any award. Because when people go in and they're hungry and they want a nice meal and they see my name on the menu, that's awesome. It's like being Tommy John, having an operation, but it's food. It's food. But no, I would like to win a Marconi. I did work at WEEI in dreaded Boston. McBain hates it, but they won the Marconi Award, so I consider myself part of a team that won the Marconi Award for the top sports radio station in the country. There are individual Marconi Awards, but I have not. I will not nominate myself. Someone has to submit it, and nobody has chosen to do that from this company, and no listeners have done it. I don't even know if listeners are allowed to do it. I know Pierre was making a big deal about that, about submitting something, but I don't think he actually did. So I have never won any awards, and no one I know that I work with, because of the overnights, they don't really give awards out to overnight people. So none of us have won any awards. So there you go. Now, do you know anyone that's won an award in radio?
I think Cowherd has.
Well, yeah, probably. Anyway, Fats from Philly writes in. This guy's crazy. This guy, your typical Neanderthal Philadelphia sports fan. He says, what has more, stars on the American flag or pimples on my ass cheeks? Would you care for an actual video? Signed, Fats in Philly.
You can take that one.
Well, I have seen all that Fats has to offer. Not that I wanted to see all that Fats has to offer.
How?
Oh, this is the guy, Ryan, that during the NFL draft lit himself on fire and screamed my name, Ben Mallor!
I thought he was the guy that you met at that truck stop And that's why you
no, see, no, that's, no, that's the, yeah,
that's why you saw his ass.
That's moving man, Matt. That's okay. You getting your callers, your okay. celebrity callers mixed up. Bad job by you. This is a different celebrity. This is Fats from Philly.
Different celebrity.
Yeah. No, I've never met Fats. Fats is one of the great characters in the history of the show. I'm so glad Fats found our show. So this guy Fats, this cat Fats, right? He loves the show. He lights his chest hair on fire during the 2020 draft and screams my name. Then we have this guy, Doc Mike, who drinks his own piss from
yes,
Chicago.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Right? So Fats thought it would be fun to goof around with Doc Mike and pretend like he was going to, you know, be a Doc disciple. So he starts talking to Doc on the phone, and Doc believes you should drink your own urine. So Fats made a video in his kitchen. He wanted to prove that he was drinking his own urine straight from the tap. So he...
Ah!
So he took, I think it was like a little cup, and then he had the video, and he pulled his shorts down, and the full Monty, the full twig and berries right there. And, yeah, we saw all the fats. I have not seen his ass cheeks. I'm good, though. I'm good. Gascon would probably like that, but he's not here.
He is into some weird shit. That's true.
But if I'm betting... I'm betting that Fats has more pimples on his ass than the American flag has stars.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, here's a new email. This is from Little Fats. It says, Fats in Philly's 22-year-old son. How about you having Fats as your dad? You imagine having a crazy dad like that, wild and crazy, that will light himself on fire. Anyway, Little Fats, I wonder how fat Little Fats is, says, if you had to guess, who is more crazy, me or Pops? Double Shazam, that's the famous sign-off by Fats in Philly. He says, Shazam! Double Shazam. Well, I don't know much about you, Little Fats, but I know your old man's nuts. He's got the neurosis going there, that Fats guy, in a good way. And he's everything you expect. Every trope of a Philadelphia sports fan, that's Fats in a nutshell. That's the guy that, you know, people goof on Philly and certain fans at Philly. But that, to me, Fats is great. But I don't know much about your Fats, but if you are anywhere close to your old man, then what do they say? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree? Isn't that what they say? I
think that's true.
The phrase. So, yeah. And you're younger, so yeah. Can you light yourself on fire, though? That, don't do it for me, but can you light yourself on fire?
Yeah, do it like Johnny Storm.
Wow.
That's a Fantastic Four comic book reference.
All right. All right. Shane writes in. Here we go. Shane writes in. Says, hey, Ben, question for you. I know you have lost a ton of weight and you work the overnight shift like me. Do you do all of your eating before work, or do you still eat at night, which is hard to do, but at the worst time? All right, so a couple things here, Shane. Let's start with the fact that I have a very bizarre situation. I do intermittent fasting is my mishigas. I'm into the intermittent fasting. And so I don't eat very much during the week. And that's worked for me. You should, as I said earlier, don't take advice, dietary advice, medical advice from someone on the radio or a podcast, but it's worked for me. And my routine is to eat. When I do eat, I'll eat normally around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So what I consider like the middle of the day, which is not really the middle of the day, it's kind of earlier in the day. And that's it. I try to eat in for 1 hour. And sometimes less than that, I'll eat a meal slowly and then maybe a little snack. And then that's it. And I'm done. I try to fast at least 23 hours, but usually I do a couple of fasts that are longer than that. And then overnight, I just drink a lot of water. And I figured out, it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me, that I can trick my stomach by filling it with water. And it works. Now, the problem I've had recently is, the key to this is to just work out occasionally. Go on the treadmill, yes. Get a little sweat going, because then you burn off the water. Recently, though, McBain, I have not been able to do that because my treadmill's in 13,000 pieces, so it is a little problem. I have a lot of water weight, but it'll go away as soon as I start getting back and being able to work out again once I move in a couple weeks. So that's the move. You don't work overnights, McBain, so I don't know what you would. Do you have any tips on losing weight?
I try to work out of like... at least 3 times a week. If I can't run or go to the gym, I'll go on long walks.
Like, yeah. Walking's great.
Walking's great. Wonderful. 3-4 miles I try and get in. I try not to pig out, you know. And water is key, or light beer, that works too.
Light beer,
or
you know, about whiskey. What about
whiskey too? Because whiskey has no carbs. So there you go.
Okay. Go with the whiskey. When in doubt, throw the whiskey out. I hope that helps you. Good luck. It's tough, man. I've been battling weight my entire life. It's a pain in the ass. Don't give up.
Have you tried cocaine? That also works too, I hear.
I can go up to the Hollywood Hills and get some
so
of that.
I've heard.
Yes, exactly. Craig from Camel City, formerly of St. Louis, says, I think I asked this years ago, but Jennifer Aniston or Angelina Jolie?
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Jolie. What are you talking about?
Well, he says Jennifer Aniston, but I tend to agree stupid. With you.
It's just like, let's call it what it is.
What's the new? We've got to update that, unfortunately, because both of them have, they've got a little older now, Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston. What would be the new, I'm not really, you're a Twitch guy, so you're up on pop culture. Like, who are the two women who you would put in those categories there that you would say, it's like the old, was Gilligan's Island, they should do Marianne or Ginger was the thing. Right, that was always the, which one would you be more attracted to type deal?
I don't know. I gotta think about this one. I'll tell you a girl who I think is drop dead gorgeous. That's Karen Gillan. Oh my God! I give her my left kidney.
Really?
Oh yes, I love redheads.
Hold on, I don't know who this is. Hold on, let me Google it. Karen, what's your last name? Gillan.
Gillan, yeah.
G-I-L-L-A-N.
Yeah, I think it's I-A-N, but yeah.
G-I-L-L-A-N, an actress?
Actress, yes.
Scottish actress?
Yes. 6 feet tall, red hair. Oh yeah.
You like those redheads?
Oh, huh? They are. I do.
Firecrackers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. She's a lovely lady. I've never heard of her before. What has she been in?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wait, I'm looking. She's been in a lot of stuff. Yeah, okay. I haven't been to the movies much in recent years.
Oh, and by the way, guess who's now recently single?
Who would that be?
Mia Khalifa. She's single now.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's single.
Would you like to take Mia Khalifa out on a nice date? Would you like to?
I don't know.
Well, she's definitely got a lot of experience. She's not a rookie.
She has experience. She said that recently since she announced that she's single, that she's had to block a lot of people on the internet. Imagine that. Could you imagine all the messages she's getting?
Yeah, that's not a job you can leave easily. That's a job. It's kind of like being a musician. You know, when you're a musician, you write a song when you're 20 years old, and then when you're 60 years old, people still want you to perform the song. When you're a porn star, the same thing. People expect you to, wow. Well, she was dating a lot of athletes, wasn't she? She was in the athlete crowd.
Yeah, and a lot of athletes are trying to slide in her DMs, and she would put them on blast.
Oh, that's not kind.
Well, you shouldn't be like, I don't know, propositioning people on the internet. That's bad.
I had a porn star get upset with me one time on Twitter over something that I said, but it wasn't Mia Khalifa. It was somebody else. I forget her name.
Can you name some of the films she's in?
I know. I don't remember that. No, it was something I said about the Dodgers. And I think it was the story. Remember when it was a teenage girl ran out on the field to hug Cody Bellinger a couple years ago? I don't know if you remember that story. But we had the girl call the show. I found her on Twitter, and it was like one of those stories for 24 hours where it was like, she became internet famous for 24 hours, whatever. And she's a big Dodger fan, so we put her on. That was interesting. Like, what happens to you when you run out on the field at a game? And she told the story. It was like, nothing happened. Like, her mom came down and had to take her and yelled at her, and then that was like it. And the security guards were laughing and all that. Anyway, so this porn star got upset that I was giving her fame.
Was it Lisa Ann, by the way?
Yes!
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 See?
Yes!
Yes!
Yeah, look at you. You know your porn stars.
Yes. Nail and Palin. That's a great film. You should check it out.
Lisa, look at you. Unbelievable porn knowledge. You must have been to the AVN Awards before. Come on. That is very impressive. Wow.
I am a sayer of knowledge.
I would not have, that name just was in and out of my head. But yeah, Lisa Ann, who was messing around doing some satellite radio show or something like that. I don't know if she still does, but she got upset with me over my hot take and got angry.
Why was she mad?
I forget exactly. I have to go look it up, but it was something to do, as I remember it, and remember, your memory is not, you know, usually all that good. But as I recall, it was something to do with the, I was giving this girl attention for running on the field, and I shouldn't do that because you shouldn't celebrate that. You know, that kind of stick in the mud type, which you'd think from a porn star, you wouldn't care, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't care about that, but she did. She got very upset about that. Very
defensive. I think she lives around here, too.
Yeah, I believe you're correct, and she does like the Dodgers, and so she's into sports.
She, I mean,
like
she follows the Dodgers.
I don't know. She's, I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know these porn stars. The most famous porn star. You know who the most famous porn star of all time is?
Ron Jeremy?
No, Kim Kardashian.
That's Kim good. Kardashian. That's funny. That's funny.
Right? Yeah. Without Ray J and her, there's no Kim Kardashian. She became a viral sensation of the nation because of a taboo video.
Yeah, I mean, if I put out a sex tape, I don't think I'd be famous. I don't know how that happened, you know?
Yeah. Oh, if I put out a tape, I'd get arrested. So yes. That would be the...
When's the Ben Maller sex tape dropping?
Nobody wants to see that. It'd be like Medusa. You'll become blind if you see that. My God, holy crap. Johnny from Kentucky writes in Bluegrass Country. Says, how can I convince my wife to see the light with us and eat crunchy tacos when we have taco night at home? She will only eat soft shells, and I say that's not a taco. That's a burrito. Please help Counselor Ben, signed Johnny in Glasgow, Kentucky. Well, a great, great email, Johnny. First of all, you're right. Your wife is completely wrong. I'm sure your wife's a lovely lady and you love her very much. You married her. You've got a lifetime contract. But this is a bad take by your wife on tacos. So let me educate your wife, okay? I live in the Mecca of Mexican food in Southern California. And we are just north of the Mexican border. We're like another state in Mexico. It's wonderful with all the different culinary choices we have of Mexican food here. It's wonderful where I live. And I have friends of mine. I had a buddy, my friend Alex, he passed away a couple of years ago. And Mexican guy, and he used to bust my balls because he said those are gringo tacos, right? That the crunchy tacos are gringo taco, and I disagree. To me, that is the perfect meal because you get all the delicious meat, all the delicious cheese, a little bit of lettuce, not too much lettuce for me, whatever else you like in your taco, and then you get the deep fried crunch of that corn or flour. I like corn shell. It's perfect. You don't mess with perfection. And I need the crunch. I need the crunch. You don't get that. And you're absolutely correct that a soft taco is just a burrito that hasn't been wrapped. That's all it is. It's a small little pint-sized burrito. And so no. And if you ever get to L.A., the holy land of the crunchy tacos is this place called Tito's Tacos. It's in Culver City. And I used to go there when I lived at the old apartment 3 times a week. That's probably why I got so fat, because I love those tacos so much. And if you go there, you might want to get a second job, because the tacos used to cost, when I started going there, they were like $1.75, which was, I thought, expensive, a $2 taco. Now they're like $5.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like $5 for a taco, which is ridiculous.
Are they big tacos?
Yeah, I mean, they're big, but they're not. They're not humongous. Have you never been there?
No, but I know. Yeah, I heard it's good. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's. And you're close enough. You don't have to get on a plane to go there, so you should check it out. And I've tried to recreate. My wife does a pretty good rip-off version of Tito's Tacos. We don't have a deep fryer. They deep fry their shells, and so they have an advantage. Clue. That's a money-making operation. They used to be a cash-only business. They only added credit cards a couple years ago. They were getting straight cash.
Straight cash, homie?
Yeah, that's right. That's just like Randy Moss. Straight cash, homie. Straight cash, homie.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlos in Houston, Texas writes in, home of the cheating Astros.
Yep.
He says, Ben, now that you have finally gotten rid of that clown David Gascon, will you finally be eating the steak in your freezer? That's a great point. I have not eaten the steak. I think my plan now is to wait until I get moved into the new place and then burn the shit out of that steak, make it look like the tires on my cars. He says, you did say you were going to eat it on a special occasion. So, yeah, well, it is a special occasion. Get him in a gas can west of the 405. Also, he says, who knows? He's like a cockroach gas can, though. He might come back. You never know. You know, he's a cockroach. He says, you guys need to change it up on the show with Marcel. It's getting kind of stale. Carlos, I disagree. The only thing getting stale with Marcel is the food he eats. But Marcel, you've got to appreciate Marcel. People get so upset. Who knew that Marcel would be a polarizing caller? It blows my mind the things that the consumer of radio get upset with. It just blows my mind. For example, Marcel is harmless. He lives in the projects in Brooklyn. He doesn't leave his apartment. The only joy the man gets in life is calling dopey radio shows like the one I do. So if we take a call for 3 minutes on a Wednesday or a Friday or a Monday, how is that going to fuck up your life? And we attempt to spin and make it exciting and have fun with Marcel. I don't know. I think I'm fine with it. I get a kick out of Marcel. I love how seriously he takes this and how it's for him, this is the most important thing in his life. And I appreciate that. It's my act of kindness. See, I'm not a cold-hearted bastard all the time. McBain? I'm not.
You say that, but...
No. Occasionally, I'm Benny Brightside. Yeah. All right. Adrian in the Mile High City. He actually visited Disneyland. I was trying to meet Adrian. He's with his family. He's a huge super fan of the show in Denver. And unfortunately, he was not here on one of the days I could meet him. So I'm really only available a couple days a week because of the show. It takes up all my time, and I don't have any free time at all pretty much during the week. But Fridays and Saturdays are typically the only days I could do anything like that. Anyway, he's sent a photo, and this guy had a rip-off Ben Maller shirt made. And he went to Disneyland wearing my name, McBain, walking around the Magic Kingdom, Toontown, and all the different worlds there at Disneyland. So thank you, Adrian. That was pretty cool. And you got a good-looking family there. You're very proud of yourself there.
I have not been there in a long time.
Disneyland?
It's too expensive. Jesus.
Let me tell you a little secret. You want a little secret?
Sure.
All right. You got to find somebody that works at Disney. You got to help them out a little bit because they can take you. Disney employees can take up to three other people and get you in for free. I don't know if that's still the case with COVID, but I'm fortunate enough that I've been in radio long enough that I have many friends that I used to work with in radio. As you know, it's a transient business that now work at Disney and the evil four letter. And they give them this little card when you work at Disney and you can go to Disneyland. But then I end up, not that I would ever do this, but if I did do this, Ryan, you know, not that I would ever do this because it'd be wrong.
Of course.
It'd be morally incorrect. But if I were to do it, I would have to, you know, slip them, you know, $100 or something like that to get me and a friend in or something like that, you know,
which is
a lot cheaper, I hear, than actually buying admission to Disneyland.
Yeah, and they keep raising their prices, too. They must make a fortune.
Yeah. I think that's bullshit because they're screwing up. Disneyland, you know, the admission price, I know it's their business. They can do whatever they want. They're a private business and all that. But wouldn't you want, the whole point is to get the kids in there. And then they become fans for life. We all get indoctrinated as kids with Mickey Mouse and Goofy and Donald Duck and all these ridiculous characters. It's like the McDonald's Happy Meal. The greatest thing ever McDonald's did was come up with a Happy Meal. Kids love McDonald's because of the Happy Meal, and when they're adults, they'll still get hungry. I'll go get a Big Mac and fries because they flash back to their childhood. But you'd want to encourage more younger people to get in. So that's a bad job by them, but it's their business. How much is a Disneyland one-day pass? What do you think it is right now, today?
I could probably work a full shift here and not pay for a pass for one day.
All right, I'm looking right now. Hold on a sec. I'm looking. I'm going on Disneyland.disney.go.
And it also depends on the time you go, too.
All right, let's see. Theme park tickets I'm clicking on that. Let's continue to shopping. All right. Hold on a sec here. There's all these COVID warnings. I don't need that. Standard theme day ticket. A 1 to 5 day ticket. The longer you play, the less you pay per day. It says it starts at, oh, wait a minute, hold on. A 1 day, one theme park ticket is $72. That seems like that's low, actually. It says California residents, says a 3 day, one park per day ticket. Oh, one park per day, though. Yeah, you got to go to both, don't you? That's $83.
Mm.
How much is it if you want to go to both? We'll see it on here.
Is that like for right now or like, because I'm pretty sure like certain times of the year, the prices shoot up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although, aren't they limiting how many people can get in these days because of the COVID? I think that's.
Well, I definitely wouldn't go there right now.
Nah, he would stay away. He wouldn't hang out with the masses.
Look, I don't even like people to begin with. Now that's you true. Are asking me if I'm going to go to a place where I can catch COVID. Nah, I'm good.
Well, conceivably, you could catch it anywhere.
Yeah, but I'm more likely to catch it there.
But I thought you had the vaccination, right? You had the vaccine, didn't you?
But the Delta variant's out now. I got to worry about that shit.
Nah. Live your life.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll live my life in a casket. That's great. Thanks.
Well, you're going to end up there anyway at some point there. It's going to happen. Mm. The end game.
Yeah.
You have a fatal illness. It's called life. No one's ever gotten out alive. Wow. No one has ever been able to escape.
Ben Stradamus here.
That's right. You know, the moment you start dying is the moment you're born.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to think about that, but it's my positive thought of the day. Positive affirmations. Future Tony Robbins. Mike in Rhode Island writes in, he says, should Tokyo have a secondary Olympics with games for people who test positive for COVID while they're there?
I'd actually watch that. I'd watch that.
I would too.
Oh, he's dying, but you know what? Look at that speed.
Yeah. He says, hurdles while hooked up to a respirator sounds like must-see TV. Wow. He went there. How dare you?
I'd watch a boxing match. Two dudes just coughing, just throwing haymakers.
Coughing blood up. He'd be like, hey, I'm in on that. Yeah. I say if they're in an individual sport, and they're not going to be in contact with anyone else, and they want to participate, and they have COVID, and they're okay, let them participate. Let them participate. If they're asymptomatic, let them do their thing. Let them go. Last one, last email from Ohio Al. He says, Benny, even though I clearly stated that my prior email with talent show observations was feedback, and feedback was for your information only. Well, my apologies, Ohio Al. My reading retention skills, not the greatest. I must have overlooked that. He says it was not meant to be shared on the air. He says it was actually eye-opening hearing you read it on the Fifth Hour podcast. All of what I said was factual, but Ohio Al says, I realize that it came off sounding like a douche canoe full of sour grapes. Well, that is true. He says, your song was great, Ohio Al. You've got nothing to be upset about. Your song was wonderful. We still play it all the time. You get a lot of airplay on 400 radio stations. You know how many struggling musicians would love to be played on 400 radio stations? And you're getting that. You're getting that. You're getting national airplay, international airplay. Anyway, he says, my song was not the only act docked points for being recorded versus live, and the best act did win the talent show. Congrats to Just Josh and Jay Scoop. I probably triggered you by using the word hypocritical in describing your judging. For that, I am sorry. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you hit my button. You sent off the volcano of molten lava. He says, in retrospect, inconsistent would have been a better choice of words, which is also an offensive word. He also said, my sincere apologies to Dick and Dayton. Well, don't worry, Dick only listens to terrestrial radio. Dick is not listening, nor has never listened to the podcast. He doesn't listen. He says, I had no right to drag him into my poor attempt at self-deprecating humor. It takes real balls to perform live on the radio. Blah, 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 blah. He says, and I better end this before it turns out to be a Drew Brees apology tour. Thank you. Yeah, well, yeah, you're proper to end it there. Has Brees apologized again? It's the weekend. I think he should apologize. Anyway, thank you, Ohio. I apologize. I didn't realize that was not for on-air consumption. I just assumed it was on air.
He should probably write that in the email. Hey, don't say this on the air.
Yeah. Well, he says he did, but I don't remember seeing that. I thought I read the whole email on the show. I guess I did not. I guess I screwed that up. Bad job by me. Well, that is it. We will put the baby to bed. We'll be back. I will be back tonight in the Magic Radio Box. The NFL training camp period continues. We're just a couple days away from exhibition football. Woohoo! So exciting, unless it's not. I'm excited. Getting closer to the NFL. That's where we have more listeners. That's where we have higher ratings. That's where things really matter. Hot takes on football.
Let's go Raiders, baby. Let's go Raiders.
The greatness of the Raiders. All right, Mr. McBain, how can people reach you, Ryan? You've been great here the last month doing yeoman's work, as I said here. And as I mentioned in a previous podcast, they should throw a bunch of gold bullion your direction.
Yes. Find me on Twitter at Ryan McBain, RyanMcBain, and on the Twitch. Yes, I'm cool like that. Yep. Ryan McBain on Twitch. And remember, folks, that the root of all evil pretty much came from Boston.
What a dick. All right. Thank you, Ryan. And you follow me on Twitter. Have a great rest of your Sunday. At Ben Maller, Facebook Ben Maller Show, Instagram Ben Maller on Fox. Be safe and have a wonderful rest of your day.